Hello, this is Sharon with the Pantograph, dated Wednesday, April 18th, 2018. We will begin on page one with an article entitled "Mall Prepares for Bergner's Closure." Retailer expected to be third anchor to shutter at Eastland. CBL Properties is anticipating the closure of the Bergner's stores in its malls in Bloomington and Forsyth. Bergner's parent company, the Bon Ton Stores Incorporated, is apparently headed to dissolution after the only two bidders in a court-supervised auction on Monday were liquidators, according to a report from Reuters. "We are certainly disappointed with the outcome, but this is an opportunity to continue to evolve our properties through transformative anchor redevelopments," said CBL in an emailed statement Tuesday. The Chattanooga, Tennessee-based company owns Eastland and Hickory Point Malls, among others. A spokesman for Bon Ton did not respond to its requests for comment. In addition to Bergner's, Bon Ton operates department stores under the brand name of Carson's, Elder Beerman, Herberger's, Boston Stores, Yonkers, and Bon Ton. Bon Ton filed for bankruptcy in February after announcing a month earlier that it planned to close more than 40 nationwide locations. Those included 7 stores in Illinois, 6 Carson's outlets in Aurora, Chicago, Danville, DeKalb, Morton Grove, and Schaumburg, said the Bergner store in Peoria. "We have been following this situation closely, but have not yet been informed by Bon Ton of a timeline for store closures," said CBL. Shoppers and others at the Eastland Mall on Tuesday morning expressed similar disappointment with the apparent closure of Bergner's. "It's sad to see," said Streeter resident Jack Kerner as he sat on a bench outside the Bergner store at the Bloomington Mall while waiting for his wife to finish shopping. "I hate to see any store close. These malls are getting useless, almost because there's no stores anymore. People are losing their jobs. It's because of the online shopping." Rick Philippi transferred from Champaign in 1969 to the Sears store at Eastland, and his wife once worked at Bergner's. "We used to have car shows in here. They don't do anything in here now. They don't attract anybody," said Philippi, who retired 12 years ago and comes daily to the mall to walk 4 laps. "This is a beautiful mall. You have a lot of people walking, but most of them aren't buying," he added. "It's all online shopping. They're not collecting local taxes. Our streets are going to you know what. The government needs to do something." CBL started the year with 16 Bon Ton stores in its malls across the country. Two closures were announced initially, and CBL has a lease executed for one of those spaces with more details to come soon, said the company. Of the 14 locations, 10 are leased and the remainder are owned by others. Eastland Mall, Hickory Point, and the Cherryvale Mall in Rockford are the three CBL properties in Illinois impacted by Bon Ton's store closing. "We control all three of these spaces. We have been working on contingency plans for each center impacted," CBL added. CBL said it was in advanced negotiations for several replacements but did not disclose if the Eastland and Hickory Point malls were sites where those talks are being conducted. CBL added it has a long track record of successfully replacing or redeveloping anchor locations. "Over the last 3 years, and including projects currently underway, CBL has executed on over 40 redevelopment projects, transforming underperforming space into retail, dining, and entertainment destinations that increase sales and traffic to their properties." Bergner's, a retail tenant at Eastland since 1973, will be among three anchors to close at the indoor mall in East Bloomington. Macy's and JCPenney both closed last year. Two other anchors, Kohl's and Sears, remain open. Part of the former JCPenney store will be filled by Planet Fitness and family clothing retailer H&M. Outback Steakhouse also will move from the Lakewood Plaza Shopping Center to a new building being constructed at the mall. Planet Fitness and H&M are currently under construction and will celebrate grand openings prior to the 2018 holiday season, said CBL. We will share more detailed grand opening information, including dates and related events, later this year. Redevelopment plans continue to be evaluated for the former Macy's store that would include a new retail option for the property, said CBL. We will share more detailed information as leases are finalized. Leroy Gun Club location, Wade. Panel recommends special use permit. A proposed new location for the Leroy Rifle and Pistol Club is back under consideration in DeWitt County. The DeWitt County Regional Planning Commission voted Tuesday to recommend a special use permit for the project now that the club has added property in hopes of solving the access issue that had been the center of a legal battle with neighbors. Neighbors who have opposed the project aren't giving up, however. The club purchased 40 acres northwest of Wapella near Waynesville more than 1.5 years ago, with plans to convert the property into a gun range and meeting center. The project stalled, however, when neighbor Don Funderburg, whose property borders the site, denied the club the easement it needed to access the property, setting off a legal and political battle. We had an opportunity to purchase property to the west of the property which addresses access issues, said club president Tim Daisy of the restructured application for a new special use permit. The club bought that additional acre last fall, but pulled their special use permit from consideration by the DeWitt County Board in November. Funderburg told the commission Tuesday of other reasons she says still make the gun range a bad idea. The property is in a floodplain, and you cannot legally build in a floodplain, she said. Right now, the property is flooded. Opponents also argued the club would violate a county ordinance that disallows a gun club within 1 mile of a dwelling valued over $250. Funderburg said there are 6 homes within a mile valued at over $150,000 each. The club did not do their research when they purchased this land, she said. They have been very, very forceful in trying to get this passed and disrupting everyone's lives. Resident John Heinlein told the commission he had concerns that the property values of neighboring homes would be affected. If you ask 10 people if they want a gun club next door to them, I bet 9 of them would be against it, he said. The commission did not address the questions about the floodplain or neighboring property values in finding that the application for the special use permit met the legal requirements to pass it along to the DeWitt County Zoning Board of Appeals and the DeWitt County Board for their approval. Club spokesman Dan Rawlings said club officials are looking into ways to minimize other issues, such as noise, so the facility wouldn't bother neighbors. Target practice doesn't make much noise, but we would be remiss if we didn't say some of it was loud, he said. Amy Ruhpiper, an attorney for the club, said the club has done its homework and is working on a mitigation plan for the noise. You will see that will be a non-issue, she said. The board approved the application with a special provision that nothing over a .22 caliber gun will be fired until a noise mitigation plan is in effect. The ZBA previously ruled in favor of the original plan, but the county board told the club in 2016 it must settle the easement issues before it would approve a special use permit. The private not-for-profit club was founded in 1974 and has more than 250 members, according to its website. Officials had originally planned to have the new site in operation in the fall of 2017. Today's Flick Flacked. Question. While there are worries that its presence in the Twin Cities is diminishing, State Farm nonetheless says it still employs about 15,000 workers in the Twin Cities. How many more State Farm employees in Bloomington Normal is that than there was in 1980? 1. 3,900. 2. 6,550. Or 3. 10,600 more employees. And the answer is 3. State Farm employs 10,600 more employees in Bloomington Normal today than it did in 1980. Its employee count, according to this newspaper, was 4,400 in 1980. Since then, State Farm has nearly doubled its employment count nationwide, and not surprisingly, the population of Bloomington Normal has nearly doubled too. Area calendar. Wednesday, there will be a hobbyist expo from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Bloomington Public Library. And at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday at the Normal Public Library, the World War I film series will show The Wiper's Times. On Thursday, there will be a movie matinee, Murder on the Orient Express, from 1:30 to 3:30 at the Normal Public Library. Thursday at 4 at the Normal Theater in Uptown Normal, there will be the documentary Dolores, part of Illinois Latino Council on Higher Education Professional and Student Development Conference. This is free to the public. And also, Unit 5 Reads from 6:30 to 7 Thursday at the Normal Public Library. This will also take place on April 24th and April 30th. Annual Links Tea is set for April 28th. The Central Illinois chapter of the Links Incorporated will host its 16th annual scholarship and tea event on April 28th. The doors open at 11 a.m. at the Bloomington Normal Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Tea service begins at noon. Tickets are $50 for adults and $35 for children 12 and under. Tickets can be purchased through a Lynx member or at www.centralillinoislynxinc.org. The Lynx Incorporated is an international, not-for-profit public service organization of more than 14,000 professional women. The purpose of the group is to engage in educational, civic, and intercultural activities to enrich the community. Now on to page 3. Bloody palm print, a red herring. Examiner, Whalen's conviction based on false testimony. The bloody palm print used by the state to help convict Donald Whalen of the 1991 murder of his father is unreliable evidence that does not definitively tie Whalen to the killing, according to a new report filed as part of Whalen's effort to secure a new trial. Whalen is serving 60 years for the 1991 murder of William Whalen during a brutal fight at the former downtown Bloomington bar owned by the elder Whalen. A report filed Monday by Whalen's lawyer, Elliot Sloser, includes the opinion of certified latent fingerprint examiner Michelle Triplett, who reviewed materials from the Illinois State Police Crime Lab in Whalen's case, including a piece of a broken pool cue found near the victim's body. Triplett notes that 23 items related to ISP forensic scientist John Durker's examination of evidence were not provided for her review. Those items included Durker's processing notes and photographs of what he claimed was a bloody palm print. After an exhaustive review of the evidence, Triplett concluded the latent print on the pool cue in question was never tested prior to Mr. Whalen's original trial to determine whether the print itself was made in blood. According to the motion, seeking a hearing on what the defense claims is new evidence. A hearing date will be set after the state files its response to Whalen's motion. State's attorney Jason Chambers declined to comment on the new filing. The partial print detected on the pool cue was a red herring to begin with, Slosser said Tuesday. The examiner's report shows that Donald Whalen's conviction was based on false testimony, and scientific evidence now shows he is absolutely innocent of the murder of his father, said Slosser. Slosser also contends that the injury that convicted Whalen, now 51, was never told that Durker's analysis could not exclude the victim as the person who may have left the print. The failure of the crime lab to disclose that information to the state and defense kept the jury from hearing the key detail, said Slosser. The defense also leaves open the possibility that Donald Whalen may have left the fingerprint during an earlier visit to his father's bar. With no scientific evidence that the palm print was left in blood, Triplett states, the print may have been deposited any time prior, from hours to days. Previous testing on knives collected at the crime scene failed to link Donald Whalen or anyone else to the weapons used to stab the victim 33 times, the defense contends. Whalen is nearing the end of his sentence. With day-for-day credit that is no longer available for murder convictions, he is eligible for release in 2021. Slosser, a lawyer with the Exoneration Project, said he will consider efforts on Whalen's behalf if court proceedings extend behind Whalen's anticipated parole date. Bloomington Normal officials hopeful after seeing Rivian's campus in Michigan. Facility in Normal will benefit all of us. Twin City officials are more hopeful than ever about electric car startup Rivian after seeing its Michigan facility Monday. Several local leaders took a bus to Rivian's research and development campus near Detroit, saw engineers at work, and talked to company leadership, including CEO R.J. Scaringe. The company has facilities across the U.S., but plans to manufacture in Normal's former Mitsubishi Motors North America plant. I hear from folks in the community who are skeptical Rivian will be able to eventually produce a vehicle. I walked away with a great deal of confidence they will, said Bloomington District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley. That's good news for the community because this is something that will benefit all of us. Normal City Council member R.C. McBride said, I've always been kind of cautiously optimistic about the company's future, but to be there and see what they're working on and hear different members of the leadership team and see the energy of the place, I'm pretty excited about their future. Though Rivian plans to reveal its first vehicles this year, a 5-passenger pickup truck coming to the market in 2020, and a 7-passenger sport utility vehicle, McBride said officials didn't see them, though they did see parts. Riley said what he saw made him excited to use a Rivian vehicle personally. Scaringe said previously the company hopes to design cars not only for the current concept of individual ownership and physical drivers, but also for a future when individuals borrow self-driving vehicles. I came away with a better understanding of how they see themselves fitting into the wider marketplace, McBride said. They talked about where they were going to be in 10, 20, and 30 years. We don't usually hear a lot of that long-range, big-picture thinking, so that was refreshing. McBride said the company is also very high on its normal workforce. The company has hired about 40 and must eventually hire 500 to secure local tax incentives, including from the town of Normal, District 87, McLean County Unit 5, and Heartland Community College. They had really positive things to say about the existing workforce, especially folks who worked at Mitsubishi. And they're brought on board, said McBride. That says a lot about the community and the potential here for Rivian. Riley said he remains optimistic about opportunities for educational organizations, including District 87, to partner with Rivian and build its future workforce in Bloomington Normal. We're obviously excited about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics related possibilities with our students. Ultimately, that could lead to a career path, said Riley. There certainly is a willingness on Rivian's part. They want the talent pool, and they're willing to be a partner to get the skills and education necessary for the community to be strong in those areas. Woman of Distinction speaker named. A human resources professional recognized for her efforts to diversify the workforce has been named keynote speaker for the upcoming 29th annual Women of Distinction Awards banquet. Deanne Sanchez, who has been named among the top 50 Hispanic women in business and top 100 Latinas in America by Hispanic Business Magazine, will discuss a community's commitment to diversity, according to WYCA McLean County. The YWCA presents the annual Women of Distinction event, which will be May 22nd at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Uptown Normal. Social hour begins at 5:30 p.m. and dinner and the program will follow at 6:30 p.m. During the event, McLean County women will be honored for their contributions in art and entertainment, business, education, professions, social service, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and volunteer service. A young professional also will be honored. One woman will be chosen from each category. Last year, a record-high 700 people attended the 28th annual event. Sanchez focuses on creative and non-traditional human resources and diversity programs. She has more than 30 years of human resources experience at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, United Natural Foods Incorporated, Boeing Commercial Airline Group, American Airlines, and Delta Technology. She is founder and president of DASHR Consulting, a human resources firm based in Arlington, Texas. Sanchez has been highlighted in Hispanic Journal magazine for her human resources and diversity accomplishments at American Airlines, and has been featured in USA Today for encouraging immigration reform, and has been on Fox News Business Career Accelerator discussing love contracts in the workplace. Reservations for women of distinction cost $55 through May 4th and will increase to $65 after that. For more information or for reservations, visit www.ywcamclean.org/women of distinction or call 309-662-0461, extension 298. Rathbun to serve as City Interim Finance Director. Scott Rathbun will serve as the City of Bloomington's Interim Finance Director beginning May 1st. I am pleased to welcome Mr. Rathbun to the role of Interim Finance Director, Interim City Manager Steve Rasmussen said Tuesday. He was integral to this year's budget process and will provide the finance department with solid leadership during this time of transition. Rathbun, who will be paid $110,000 a year, most recently served as the city's senior budget manager since July 2017. He was not available for comment Tuesday. Rathbun replaces Patty Lynn Silva, who was hired as city finance director in May 2012. Silva, who remains employed by the city as its chief accountant, announced in February she was stepping down so she could create a better balance between her personal life and career. Her annual salary as finance director was $134,350. The 5-day weather forecast for Bloomington Normal. Today, chance of rain, isolated storms, winds 12 to 22 miles an hour, with a high of 52 and a low of 33. Thursday, slow, clearing, winds 7 to 15 miles an hour, high 49, low 30. Friday, mostly sunny, yay, with a high of 55 and a low of 33. Saturday, mostly cloudy, high 57, low 36. And Sunday, gradual clearing, with a high of 60. Nursing home upgrades eyed. McLean County officials hope a little care can breathe new life into their struggling nursing home in Normal. Officials plan to rebrand the McLean County Nursing Home, make upgrades that include more private rooms, and replace contracted staff with county employees after the home lost 25% of its residents over 4 years. Those are among steps recommended by a panel of local health care experts who volunteered to study the 901 North Main Street facility this winter.